praise tonight, Father. And so, Lord, right now in this room, no matter what the need might be represented by whoever wants to declare it and let it be known, Father, you're bigger than anything that we could ever carry and stronger than everything that would ever weigh us down. And Lord, tonight we have total and complete confidence that with God, all things are possible. And for that, we'll give you a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, we give you a shout of praise because you are a great God. You are an awesome God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, look at somebody and give them a high five in the Lord. And Studio 7 and youth are together tonight. All right. Got that word. And you are dismissed for that. Tell somebody I love you. Ain't nothing you can do about it. Come on up here and sit up here, Pastor. Right there. Great to have all of you here tonight. And it's wonderful to be in the presence of the Lord, right? Thank you, Jesse, and part of the youth worship team that helped us out tonight. Appreciate that so much. And everybody have a Merry Christmas? Oh, that's over already, isn't it? It's already gone. Do you have a Happy New Year? Oh, that just started, didn't it? So far, so good. All right. We have a little clipboard going around again. If you have not signed it yet and given us your talents, abilities, resources, whatever, we just need help around here from time to time. Cleaning up, small maintenance, painting, etc., yada, yada, yada. Sign up. Give us all of your information. Don't write in tongues. Please write legibly so we can read it. And we'll be calling on you. Different stuff that happens, you know, whether we have tripped boxes in the electrical panel that need to be rewired. And you think, well, just call somebody. Well, you know, that could cost you a lot of money when some of you have that ability. You can just come in, whip it right up, fix it, right? And that helps out a lot, or a little bit of painting or some other repair. So sign up, and that'll be great. So pass it on. If you haven't already done it, you can do that. And we'll appreciate that so very much. Let me ask you guys a question. I want to try to prepare something. And maybe you remember, if you're an old Browns fan, are there any Browns fans left in Cleveland? I think there are a few. All right. Woo, woo, woo. All right. You remember L. Bubba Baker? Great football player for the Cleveland Browns. He is a friend of the ministry, and he actually owns a rib and steak restaurant in Avon. I don't know if you knew that or not. It's called Bubba Q. That's what it's called. And I just thought it'd be great to get all the guys together and do kind of a men's Bubba Q and let him give his testimony on how he got saved. And he says some incredible things about some of these football players. You know what he called? Should I even tell him? Maybe I not. He called Howie Long. Have you ever heard of the Howie Long? He called him a punk. I'm just kidding. He said, I whooped him on the line. I beat him up. Anyway, he gives some insights on the NFL. He also talks about how he got saved and how his family's turned around. He is a member of one of our churches, Church on the Rise, with Pastor Paul Endre. And if I can get something scheduled, would you drive over to Bubba Q's? I don't think he has one out here in the East yet. Just men, sorry. Yeah, just us guys. You guys don't like barbecue anyway, do you, girls? You don't like that stuff. You do. How many of you guys would say, if you scheduled it, I think that'd be a great day, I'd come over? Okay, number of you would? All right, we're going to do it. Good. I didn't know whether I'd... You know, I said, wow, that's going to be a distance for you to come, but anyway. All right, let's get right to the word, okay? And we'll take an offering on the way out. You can give your checks, make it out to COR, not RVC, right? If you weren't here Sunday, you don't know what RVC is. Did I say COR? No, CNC. Make your check out to CNC. COR, that's Church on the Rise. Well, you can if you feel led of the Lord, you know, whatever. Yeah, C-O-R is not the one. It's C-N-C. Yeah, not R-V-C. That's what I meant. Anyway. Hey, look, I want to go to Ezekiel tonight. I'm not going to read all first 15 verses because it's a lot of text. But how many know the story of the Valley of the Dry Bones? Do you know it very well? Most of you do. If you're here on a Wednesday night, you know your Bible. You read your Bible. You know the stories of the Bible. So I don't have to go into a lot of detail for you. This is a great audience to minister to and to teach with because you are schooled in the things of the Lord. Speaking of school, North Coast Bible Institute starts Saturday. So if you've signed up for the classes, make sure you get here on time. And that's going to be a great moment. So Ezekiel chapter 37, 1 to 15. I just want to read the first couple of the verses. And we're going to extract some truth out of this tonight because the Lord put in my heart to speak a prophetic blessing over the house of God. Now, we have done this before, but this is in a different sense. And Tina got a great insight out of the book of Numbers with the blessing of Aaron. And we're going to release that later in the evening. But I just want to bring this to our attention tonight because I really feel like going into this new year, we cannot allow some things to lie dormant or remain in the cemetery of our past. And, you know, sometimes we just walk away from those things and say, well, it's over, it's dead. And it may not be dead. And it may not be over. So this is where we want to go tonight. Looking at verse 1, the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. He caused me to pass by them all around. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And indeed, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And so I answered, O Lord God, you know. Right there, I'm going to stop. I want you to pray with me. Holy Spirit, would you open our minds, our ears, our hearts to the word of the Lord tonight? Father, I know that this isn't by chance that we have gathered here, but this is by divine positioning. I believe, Lord, there are people in this room that you specifically have brought here tonight for this word. So, God, with great confidence, I approach your word. I know, Lord God, I don't take it lightly. I know that this is a God moment and it's a God happening. I just pray now, Father, for a prophetic release to be in this room, that there would be a raising up of things that have been forgotten. Bring back to remembrance things, oh God, that have been pushed back or pushed down. I pray, Father, today that there would be resurrected hope in the hearts of your children. And as we approach this year, God, we're looking for the unusual and the unexpected to take place. And so I just put that kind of demand in this atmosphere right now. And I thank you, Lord, that there are others that are putting their faith in with that demand. And we're just believing, God, to receive from you a word that is going to bring stuff to life in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Come on, let's give him a praise. Hallelujah. Yeah. We give you a praise, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen, amen. You know, the clapping of hands, it's powerful. And the shout of the voice, it's powerful. And the affirmation of an amen. Boy, I tell you, it can be energizing for sure. But when we come to a place in our life, when we are convinced by circumstantial evidence or by the elapse of certain amount of time, duration of time, that things are over, that's when God can take over. And I want to jolt us a little bit. I want to challenge us solically tonight to say it's never over until God says it's over. And if God hasn't said it's over, you and I ought to expect for the thing to live again. You and I ought to begin thinking, okay, wait a minute. I got to step back. I got to look at this again. I've got to take one more opportunity and say, God, is there hope here? Is there possibility here? Is there potential here? And if God said, if he's not saying no, then you better believe that there still is hope, potential, and opportunity in that thing. Unless God says no, because he's declared it's over, then there's still hope in a situation that may be very dire for you, may appear as though that it's impossible on this side of heaven or even without supernatural intervention. But let me tell you something. All we need from God to see things turn around is one word from Him. Come on, just one word. Look over at somebody, just say one. You don't need two. Just one word from God. Now think about it with me. The man at the pool of Bethesda, 38 years, met Jesus, didn't have a man to put him in the pool at the stirring of the water. How many know that after 38 years, he got to the point where he felt it was over? But God didn't say it was over. But he was convinced that it was over. But when he stepped in and God gave him a word, do you want to be made well? That's all he had to hear. And there from that point, everything he thought was over suddenly was resurrected. He left that day on that word carrying what he used to be carried on. He became whole in every way. Think about it with me, the three Hebrew children. Thrown in the fiery furnace. You know that story. We've talked about it so many times. If you've been saved 10 years, you probably heard 20 sermons on it. It's a popular text. But think as they were being thrown into the furnace, they had confidence and they spoke boldly to Nebuchadnezzar. They spoke boldly to the authorities. But nonetheless, they were human. And you know when they got close to that furnace, come on, that they had to be feeling the heat. Some of us feel the heat. We got faith, but man, we're feeling the heat. And then when it was heated 7 times hotter than it ever had been heated before, and when the ones that went to throw them in collapsed and died instantly from the heat, you know they were thinking, it's over. But it wasn't over, was it? Because God didn't say it was over. It might have been 7 times hotter. It might have killed the ones that were throwing them in. It might have been at the hands of an angry leader that was trying to destroy their lives. But it wasn't over because God was in the midst of the fire. Think about it with me. Daniel. Daniel thrown into the lion's den, and when they slid that big stone over the top of that pit, and it was just he and the lions for the night. You might have thought, well, it's over, but it's not over because God had a plan, and an angel of the Lord was already in the bottom of the pit with the lion. And we see that how God turned things around. Think about this one. How about on the other side of the sequences? Remember Haman in the story of Esther and how he had built the scaffolding and the, what do you call those things? The gallows, and he was going to hang Mordecai on it, right? And it was over for Mordecai. But how many know that it's never over until it's over? You see, Haman didn't realize that it was about to be over, but not for Mordecai. It was about to be over for him. Can I tell you and encourage you tonight that the enemy who has been just trumping you, who has been talking his trash, who's been pushing you around, who has been boasting all over your life, and who thinks it's about over for you, that God is about to flip things around, and what he thought was over for you is actually going to end up being over for him. Now there's a place we ought to clap our hands really and give God praise. Hallelujah, God. Do it, Lord. Turn it around, God. Come on, Jesus. Make a change in our lives, Lord. Do it, Father. Hallelujah. You know when that edict went out to destroy every Jew? Wow, can you imagine? They thought it was over, but suddenly a word came. Suddenly God intervened. And now they were able to defend themselves. And defend they did. Your day of defense is coming. Your day of being pushed around and your day of being intimidated is over. I really feel like 2012 is a time we need to start recovering all. It's kind of like our Ziklag being burned and stuff being stolen from us. And we're trying to stir ourselves up in the Holy Ghost. Seemed like the church has just been trying to stir ourselves up. Stir yourself up. Well, David did stir himself up in the Lord. But then he asked the question, should I pursue? Should I overtake? Should I recover? And God said, yes. Amen. Look at somebody and say, yes. It's time to pursue. It's time to recover. It's time to go get your stuff. 2012 is a pursuing year. It's a recovering year. It is bringing back year. It's a time when God wants to do for us what no man could ever do. Think about it with me. The woman caught in adultery. How many know that had to be the most embarrassing moment of anybody's life? Having been caught in the act of adultery, being pulled out from that act in the middle of the town square, exposed to everyone, all the accusers around, everybody ready to condemn her. How many knows that she was not planning on what she was going to have for lunch tomorrow? She was thinking, my goodness, I'm about to meet my maker. They're going to stone me to death because the law of Moses said that a woman caught in adultery ought to be stoned. And that's what they said to Jesus. This is what the law of Moses says. What do you say? Isn't that powerful? Think about it with me. This is what the law of Moses says, but what do you say? Sometimes in our life we think, well, this is what the law of the land says, but God, do you have anything to say? This is what the religious leaders of this generation would say, but God, do you have anything to say? This is what my mother and father have said to me, but God, do you have anything to say? This is what my husband has been saying to me, but God, do you have anything to say? And Jesus began to bend down and ride inside the sands, and before he knew it, he had something to say. And what he had to say was circumventing what they had to say, was overpowering and turning around what they had to say. How many know that his argument was greater than the argument of the accusers? Can I tell you, in 2012, Jesus has got something to say about your circumstance. He's got something to say about what everybody else has been saying. He has got a plan that is going to bring you out when you thought it was over. Now, when you see no human solution, when it's beyond human comprehension, that's when you need to change your mentality. You need to start getting God's solution identity. You need to start having God comprehension mentality. The first two verses of Ezekiel 37, as we have read them, I want to point out a couple of things. Number one, the hand of the Lord came upon me. Sometimes we have to go and get the hand of God upon our life. We've got to do whatever it takes to feel God's presence. When we're feeling like things are being ripped out from us, or we have lost, or things have been stolen, or people aren't treating us fairly, or for whatever circumstance we're in that it appears that there's no way out, the first step is get the hand of the Lord upon your life. You want to be able to walk around feeling the hand of God on your shoulder. You know, when I get up in the morning, I may be faced with a lot of things, honey, but I want you to know something. When I feel God's hand upon my life, that changes all my perspective. And that's what the prophet said. He said, the hand of God was upon me, and he brought me out. He brought me out in the spirit, and he set me down in the midst of the valley. It's as if God had to forcefully take the prophet and make him look at his situation. Because some of us are in denial. Some of us have walked away from our pain. Some of us are afraid to confront. Watch. Afraid to confront what's been preventing us from making progress. We don't want to go there. We buried it. It's over. Yet we're constantly feeling rejected by people and scenarios and situations. It keeps coming up, but we don't want to confront it. We don't want to go back there. But the hand of God came on the prophet, brought him out, and sat him down in the midst of the valley. In other words, I'm going to make you look at this thing. Because the only way you're going to defeat this thing is for you to confront this thing. But the good news is you don't have to confront it yourself. I'm going to do it for you. Because you don't have any authority or any power to do anything against it. I'm going to tell you what to say to it. Because it has to get a word. And your word's not going to be enough. You need a word from me. So first thing you need to do is get the hand of God on you. Second thing we need to do is confront the thing that's hindering our progress in God. I have to ask the Holy Spirit. It's a different thing for all of us. What is it that's hindering your progress in the kingdom? What is it that's hindering your progress in relationships with people that are important in your life? Why can't you love people? Why is it you can't trust people? Why is it you can't release certain things? Why is it you still are walking in unforgiveness? What is it? God said, I got to put you down in the midst of it. Because in 2012, we're not about to leave that valley the same condition that it's been for years. I'm about to do something in the valley. I'm about to do something in that place where everybody has walked by and said that there is no hope. I'm about to do something in that locality. I'm going to bring it back to life. This is powerful. Verse 2 tells the prophet, survey the situation. And then he asked him, can these bones live? Verses 12 to 13 says this, therefore prophesy to them, thus says the Lord God, behold my people, I will open your graves. I will cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. I like the progression of that thought. It's sort of like living in a masonry jar, all squished and preserved by formaldehyde, observed by anyone who wants to take you down from the shelf. And God said, I'm going to take you off the shelf and open the lid. But I'm not only going to open it, I'm going to cause you to come up out of it. And not only am I going to cause you to come up out of it, but I'm going to bring you into that which I promised you. I am moving your location. Doesn't matter how long you've been in that jar, in that box, you've been pushed aside. I'm going to open it up, bring you out, and bring you in to a new dimension of living. I'm believing that for my life this year in 2012. I'm believing that for this ministry. I'm saying, God, take the top off. Take the lid off. Take our hesitation off, God. Take our doubt off, Lord, and open up the opportunity. Bring us out of it and bring us in to what you have promised us. Then you will know that I'm the Lord God, which I've opened your graves, O my people, brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you. You shall live. I will place you in your own land. Then you'll know that I, the Lord, have spoken and have performed it, says the Lord. Some of us need to start packing our bags. Some of us need to get ready for a trip. You're about to move. You're about to make some progress. You're about to go forward. There's a forward advance coming. No more stalemate. No more containment. No, we're moving forward. God's got a place for us. He has preserved it from the beginning of time, and he wants us in the middle of it. This is our time. This is our year. All we need is God's word. All we need is God to take the lid off. And let me tell you, he sent me here tonight to tell you he wants to twist the cap. He is reaching for that which has contained us. God's about to do something in us that utterly will astound us. I mean astound us, like, woo-wee, God, that is good. Listen to Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse 5 in the Message Bible. This is a great scripture. Look around at the godless nations. Look long and hard. Brace yourself for a shock. Brace yourself for a shock. Something's about to take place, and you're going to find it hard to believe. It's sort of like in an airplane when they say you're about to crash. Brace yourself for a shock. Put your head between your knees. Hold on. Grab something to stabilize you, because you're not going to believe it. I'm about to shake things up here a little bit. Write down Habakkuk chapter 1 and 5 and begin to pray it and believe it and confess it. And begin to brace yourself and get ready for by faith for what God is going to want to do and what God is going to do. We read about it on Sunday about not remembering the former things or considering the things of the past. But in Isaiah 43 and 19, I want to read it out of the Message Bible. Here's what he says. Be alert. Be present. I'm about to do something brand new. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? There it is. There it is. Do you see it? Boy, I hate that when people say, do you see that up there? I said, where? Where? Right there. Where's it at? And you're trying to get them to see what you see? Have you ever tried to do that? And you say, well, look, just look down my hand. I'm going to point right at it. Just get your eye on my finger. And finally they go, oh, yeah, I see it. I got it. I said, no, you don't see it. Do you really? Tell me what you see. They just want you to shut up already, right? Put that scripture back up. I'm not done reading it. And the whole idea is that God wants us to see it. He said, don't you see it? There it is. I'm making a road through the desert and rivers in the what? The Badlands. That's what church has been like, Badland Church. Woo-wee. Had a lot of trouble in this place, man. I've been living in Badland, USA. But God said, I'm about to make a way in Badland, USA. Hallelujah. Now think about it with me for a minute. God's word in your life, verse 4 of that same text of Ezekiel 37, he says this. Prophesy to these bones. Say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Those dry bones only respond to the word of the Lord. I told you about Mrs. Rivera as we prayed for her and she was in church and she waved at me and I keep texting her daughter Gladys. I said, how's Mrs. Rivera today? She goes, she's wonderful. She's fine. And I asked her while I was there, I said, do you speak the word over your mother? Well, no, Pastor, I haven't done that. I said, you need to start speaking the word over her. You need to start getting the word out of her own mouth to begin to declare that she's healthy. Begin to declare that she's got joy. Begin to declare that she's the healed of the Lord. Begin to speak to those dry bones. See, even though they were bones, even though they were dry, even though they were disjointed, God said, talk to them. Doesn't make sense in the natural. But if God said talk to them, he must have seen ears somewhere. Or he would have never said talk to them. Why do you talk to something that can't hear you? Now God, you are ridiculous. These are dry bones. Those hearing apparatuses have long rotted away. They're no longer functional. Cartilage is rotted. There's no ears left. There's no inner eardrum. God said, shh, 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 talk to them. You don't see the ears. I see the ears. So I know this. They might be dry. They might be disjointed. There may have been a lot of time, but they must have the capacity. Everybody say capacity. They must have the capacity to hear. Now that tells me something. If they have the capacity to hear, then there still must be capacity for the impossible to take place. Amen. The impossible has ears. That means they have capacity to change. Ezekiel had to overcome the natural evidence that defied the possibility of the impossible. He had to overcome that and speak to something that was dead. You've got to start seeing your situation alive. The word of the Lord is saying, go back to the cemetery. The place you gave up long ago. Go back to the graveyard. Go back to the failure. Go back to all of those places that you're trying to forget. I want to sit you down in the midst of it. I want you to walk around. I want you to confront the thing that's been hindering your progress. And I want you to start doing one thing. Tell it what I tell you to tell it. I want you to say to it what I put in your mouth. I want you to talk to it. Psalm 23 and verse 4. It's a familiar scripture. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now God is saying, hey shadow, God's about to enter you with healing in his wings. I need to speak to a shadow. He said, well, shadows don't have ears. Neither do dry bones. Neither does a barren womb. Neither does an empty pocketbook. Neither does an angry friend. Come on now, you understand what I'm talking about? Everything has ears to hear. Jesus said, let him have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. In other words, they got ears, you got to speak it. When you begin to declare it, they're going to hear it. And when they hear it, faith comes by hearing. Romans 10, 17. And hearing by the word of the Lord. So the Bible said, so I prophesied as he commanded. We need to learn how to prophesy to our circumstances. One word from God started the process of restoration and renewal. And in verse 7, as I prophesied. That's powerful. As I prophesied, it began to happen. I didn't need to see the evidence of it. I just had to begin the process. And soon as he prophesied, there was a noise and a rattling. Your process begins once you start hearing and they hear what you're saying. Begin to declare it. If dry bones have ears. See, this is what I like. I didn't realize money has ears. But money has ears. Bones have ears. Cancer has ears. Diabetes must have ears. Tumors must have ears. Rebellion must have ears. Devils must have ears. Everything must have ears. So therefore, I can get a word from God. Not my word. My words don't have any power, but I get a word from God. How? By getting the hand of God on me, confronting what's been hindering me, realizing it's not over till it's over, and I get that word and begin to release it faithfully to that circumstance. I know this, that it has to respond. It has to give in to what God has declared. Now, your situation in ruts, it awaits instruction. Your situation awaits instruction. It awaits direction. Most of us are in our situation is getting instruction from this world. The economy tells us how we're going to live this year. Politics are telling us what's going to happen this year. Wall Street's determining the price of everything. No, my money is waiting for my instructions. Not for Wall Street's trends or the price of a barrel of oil or how many votes a candidate receives, how effective the commercial might be, what popular opinion is, what the majority say. They don't determine my direction. My direction is awaiting my instruction. I am the prophet of my own life. Meaning that I've taken responsibility for my future, for my family's future. And I realize this, that God has a plan for us. So therefore, I've got to hear the plan and release the plan. I need to begin to give instruction and give direction. Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. And I want you to notice that. According to. According to. Realizing now that what I'm asking or I'm thinking is in relationship, in conjunction with the power that is working in me. So it's according to. It's in relationship to the power that is in me. And so I am going to look at my future in 2012 and I'm going to give 2012 instruction. I'm going to give 2012 direction. Every day of my life. I'm not going to let one day go for granted. Let me tell you, your day, if it doesn't receive instruction from you and direction from you as the Spirit of God is in you, it will receive direction and instruction from something. And your life will run adrift or aground by someone else's direction who has no understanding of your purpose. And so we become at the mercy of people who have no authority over our life. I'm not going to allow someone else to speak for me. I'm going to speak for myself. So we have to take this authority. See, when the word was released in Ezekiel 37, the bones began to sort themselves out. I love that part. Ezekiel didn't run through the valley trying to find A1 to connect to A2. Isn't that cool? He didn't have to look for C15 to connect to C16. All right, anybody find C15? I got C16. Hey, there in the back, you got it? All right, bring it up here. Didn't have to do that. He just spoke to it, and the bones sorted themselves out. Your situation may be complex. You may feel like it's impossible. You may feel like the odds are against you, that there is no human way, possible way, that anything could ever come back and make any sense. Listen, God said, you just give it instruction. They're going to sort out themselves. C-17's going to find C-16 all by themselves based on the direction that you give it. It's like saying, I don't know how I'm going to get my children back in the house of God. Quit trying to find the pieces to the puzzle and just start giving it the direction that God has placed in your belly. And let God worry about that. He said the situation will answer to itself. Boy, it came together, didn't it? It came together. Those bones came together. Hallelujah. Those bones came together. I believe a marriage can come back together. Yes, I do. I believe a family can come back together. God help us. I believe church can come back together. Christians can come back together. You know how many divided Christians there are, divided churches there are. Businesses can come back together. Dreams can come back. Hope can be regained that was lost. All that will come back. Say, I don't know how that's going to happen. Well, here's what we need to do. And you've been around it long enough. I've been around it. People give you these, you know, tenfold plans, sevenfold plans. This is what you need to do to get this to work. So look, I don't know about that. All I know is I just need to give it instruction. If I just declare what God says over it, it's got to sort itself out. We're worrying about all this. We're taking all this time up, having all these meetings and having these planning sessions and conferences. We're going to try and figure out how to negotiate around the table. Phooey on that. Let's get a word from God. Let's just begin to speak His directives. Let's just begin speaking His instruction. Let God sort it out. Here we are trying to take the place of God, trying to figure out who's going to do this, who's going to do that. You know, sometimes preacher meetings are just the funniest things in the world. You have like a church gathering meeting where all churches come together and there's like 20 pastors. Everybody's vying to who's going to pray, who's going to take offering, who's going to introduce, who's going to be acknowledged, where am I going to sit? Fooey on that, just speak the instruction. Let God worry about that. Go sit where the people sit. Why you got to be up on a platform showing off your shiny shoes? Just go up there and sit where the people sit. I don't get that. It's like we got to fight for our place, our time. Well, don't you know who I am? I'm Pastor so-and-so. Troy said, you know, he just got back from Israel. I said, we were talking today, how'd it go? And so it was great. He said, but boy, Pastor, he said, it's tough being with pastors. I said, what do you mean? He goes, well, there was 9 pastors on this trip. And he said, it seemed like everybody was kind of like scratching for their place, you know. It was like, we're all like wanting to make their mark. And he said, why is it like that? Why do we tirelessly work toward trying to reconcile things? Why do we make such messes of messes? You know why? Because we're not willing to confront what we believe is over. We're not willing to get a word from God and by faith speak its instruction to it. We think we've got to do something. We feel like I've got to make up for my loss. I've got to pay my penance. I've got to show God that I'm really sorry. Hey, get over it. You know, God doesn't need to see that you're sorry. Have you repented? Yeah, all right, move on. Yeah, I know, but I feel bad. Stop feeling bad. God doesn't feel anything. He's already forgotten it. Here, you're still feeling bad. He's like, gets up in the morning. God doesn't get up, but I mean, you know what I'm saying? You get up in the morning, and God's like saying, okay, you know, wipe the sleep off your eyes. Why are you walking around with your, you know, hands in your head in your hands? Why are you feeling so down? What's wrong? Oh, God, man, I just feel bad about my life. He said, why? What's up? Boy, tell me what's going on. He's already forgotten about it. You're still moping over it. And so now you're trying to make up for it. I got to make up for what I did wrong. I got to try to earn my way back into heaven. I got to try to fix this thing. I got to make everybody feel right. Just get a word from God and start speaking the directives. Start speaking the direction that God has given for your life. I want to speak something over you tonight. And Tina really put this in my spirit out of the blessing of Aaron. When you go to Numbers chapter 6, I don't know if you guys have that program back there, or you just have my slides. But if you can go to number 6:22-27. Yeah, the blessing. And it's really the high priest's blessing. And this is a powerful blessing upon your life. And I want to introduce this tonight, and I want you to take this upon yourself, and I want you to speak this over your life, speak this over your family, speak this over your future. And, well, thank you. You guys are very good. I didn't have that in the notes, so we're going to go right down to 27 as I read it. But verse 22, and the Lord spoke to Moses saying, go ahead and the next verse 23. Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. So there's a method. There's an approach to the blessing. There's a pattern. There's a format. And blessing means to be empowered to prosper. And that's really what God spoke to these valley of dry bones. He empowered them to live again. He empowered them to prosper. He empowered them to become a great and mighty army again, remember? That was the end of the story, which we didn't get to. But verse 24, if you will. And say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. Now, you've heard this scripture before, haven't you? All right, verse 25. Why don't you read it with me? The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Verse 26. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Verse 27. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Now, here are some of the components of this blessing. Number one, God will bless me and keep me every day of my life. That is something you want to give direction to your day. You want to speak over your day. This is a word, this is the Aaron blessing that was upon the nation of Israel and to the sons. It was a perpetual, it was really the high priest, the speaking over the people, that the Lord will bless me and he will keep me. To keep means to protect and to guard and to watch over and to tend and to nurture. So God, you will bless me and you will keep me. In verse 25, and God, you will smile on me. Some of us need to change the image that we have of God. God is not mad at you. God is not ready to knock you over the head with a baseball bat for being bad. Boink. Do that again, I'm going to knock you out. Boink. God is smiling on me. God is happy with me. God is just crazy about me. God just loves me to pieces. God just thinks I'm like, you know, I'm the best thing since sliced bread. God loves me. Man, I wake up in the morning, all heaven rejoices. He's awake, he's awake. Goody, goody, goody. Look at, he's awake. God smiles on me. Number three. Well, yeah, number three. God will gift me. He will gift me. Now, what does that mean? That means that no matter what the challenge for the day, he has a gifting waiting to be released to meet that challenge. The gifting of God. You and I have got to begin to get persuaded that we're gifted. How many have the Holy Spirit? Let me see your hand. All right, you all saved, you got the Holy Spirit. All right. With the Holy Spirit comes the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So we don't lack a thing. So I need to declare the blessing of God. I am gifted. God smiles on me. The Lord will bless me. The Lord will keep me. That's the direction I'm going today. What are you going to do today? Well, I'm going to be blessed. I'm going to be kept. I'm going to be smiled on. And I'm going to be gifted. What you doing? I say, wow, you go to church way too much. Verse 26. And God, thank you that you look full. You look me full in the face. I was playing with Emma the other night. She just got back from Haiti. 5-year-old granddaughter made her first trip to Haiti. I was looking at pictures. She was climbing up this huge mountain. And she got tired halfway up the mountain. She went, Daddy, carry me. And my son's like, no, you walk. You wanted to come to Haiti? You walk. If Papa had been there, I'd have carried her. But there was a little Haitian boy there with a mule. And he heard her crying. So he offered his mule to her. And so she got on it. All by herself. And she got pictures of her riding this mule up this mountain. And that made me smile. So we were talking about it, and I said, Emma, have you ever played Who Laughs First game? You ever play it, Ellie? It's kind of fun. You want to play? I bet you I can beat you. Well, you get in somebody's face, and whoever smiles first loses. Okay, so get a straight face. Okay, ready? So one, two, three. You lost. Have you ever done that? Don't turn to your neighbor and try it right now. Because the person that's sitting next to you is like, you get me close, you get that close to me, I'm going to smack you. That's what that scripture is talking about. Full face. God, I expect to look at you full in the face today. Get in my face, God, with your face. Hallelujah. How many want God's face in your face? Okay. Number, whatever it is. God, make me prosper. Make me prosper. That means when I can't prosper, you're going to make me prosper. When the circumstance doesn't lend itself to prosperity, you make me prosper. Number next. I place your name upon my head. I place your name upon my head. Jesus. I'm walking around, everybody's like, man, what you got that name on your head for? Yeah, you see it, don't you? I put it there. Its name's Jesus. I put that name on my head. I've written it. That's part of the blessing. You wonder why demons flee. They just look up and see the name. Oh, whoo, Jesus. I lay that name on my head. So I'm blessing my life. I'm blessing my children. I'm blessing those around me. I bless you as a congregation. I put the name of Jesus on you. And so I'm not even saved yet. Well, you better get out. Because I'm going to put the name on you anyway. Right? I don't even believe in Jesus. Too late. We're going to slap it on you anyway. All right, where are we at? Which one? Number 7? Is that right? Okay, bless your heart. Okay, and this I confirm by speaking the blessing. So after all of that, you say, and this I confirm by declaring the blessing on my life. Okay? You got that? Did you get all them next number nexts and sevens and sixes and all that? Okay? All right. Let's all stand up. I'm going to pray this prayer over you. Hallelujah. Give me a little bit of background music. Do you have one of my, how about that Grace Williams CD? You still have that from the other night? You can just lay that up there and just put it on. Give me a little bit of background. How many know that the minstrel in the scripture always paved the way for prophetic? Did you know that? Elijah was so anointed, did twice the miracles of Elijah, but when he needed to get a word for the king, he said, bring me a minstrel. Because there was a word that was caught up, but he had to get it out. He had to extract it. And the anointed playing of the instrument released him. And then he said, and the word of the Lord says. So the word of the Lord came forth out of that. Are you able to give me something? Just give me a yeah or a no. Do you have something? Yes? I can't see that. You just, that means yes? Thumbs up? Is that a thumbs up? All right. Thank you. Okay. All right. Let's just close our eyes. Let's lift our hands up before the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Father, we just want this blessing tonight in this place. We want this prophetic blessing over our lives, our family, our children. Lord God, right now we make a confirmation in our own hearts, Lord, about our future, about this year. Father, I just say now, God, that I'm going to speak about my direction and my instruction. I'm going to give my life instruction. You can take it down a little bit. I'm going to give my life instruction. I'm going to give my life direction in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And so, Father, we're ready now to pronounce this blessing of Aaron upon this house of God tonight. And I thank you, according to Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 to 27. You can turn it up a little bit because I can't even hear it at all. Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 to 27. That Father, first of all, I declare the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Father, I declare as well over this house, the Lord smile upon you. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, ramaso rande pete taralabosho rondo karabasi arata. Thank you, Lord. God, smile on your people. I bless them with the smiles of God upon their life. Hallelujah. Father, right now, I speak the blessing that the Lord will gift them. The Lord will gift you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And while you're hearing this blessing, I want you to receive it. I want you to say, God, I receive your giftings. I receive your smiles. I receive your blessing. I receive your keeping. I receive it now, Father, the full blessing of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I speak over this house tonight that the Lord will look full in his face. We will look full, the fullness of the face of God. Father, you will bless the house of God with the fullness of your face, God. We will see your face. So I speak the blessing of a full face, God, in our face tonight, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I receive that now, Lord. I receive that now, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that I walk under this blessing of Aaron. Thank you, Lord, that I walk under this blessing of my high priest. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, right now I just speak according to Numbers 6, 22 and 27. And I declare, God, the Lord shall bless you and make you prosper. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for the blessing of prosperity in my life. I thank you for the blessing of prosperity over my children and my grandchildren, over my generations that will follow. I speak blessing of God of prosperity over my finances, over the church, God, over my business, over my personal finance, my home, my retirement plan. Father, I thank you. Prosperity, the blessing of God. I receive it tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, right now, I just declare, God, over this house, the blessing of placing your name upon the people. Hallelujah. I place the name of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the people of God right now. The blessing of the name above every name, that at that name every knee would bow and every tongue would confess the name that was given under heaven whereby men would be saved. The name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. I bless them now. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. And Father, right now, I just declare, according to Numbers 6, 22 and 27, Father, the confirmation that by this blessing of Aaron, they are the blessed of God. So now, Lord, I pray for a quickening of the Spirit of God, that they would revisit things that they have considered dead, that they would revisit things that they thought were over, that they would once again begin to visit God and confront those things that have been hindering their progress in the kingdom of God. Make it known to our lives right now. We approach it and we face it with the blessing of God in Jesus' name. Now turn that up just a little bit for me, brothers. Now let's just take 60 seconds and worship our King Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah, turn it up a little more. Hallelujah. Father, we glory in your presence. We thank you for the blessing of God. We thank you that we've been empowered to prosper. We thank you that it's not over until you say it's over. Oh God, one word will change everything. I speak to my tomorrow. I speak to my tonight. I speak and give direction and instruction. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm the blessed of God. I walk with your name written upon my forehead. I thank you, Lord, you're smiling upon me. I thank you, Father. Oh, hallelujah, that you will keep me. Oh, blessed be your name, Jesus. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I will worship you. I will worship you. I will worship you. And I will bless your holy name. I will magnify you. I walk in your blessing, Lord. I walk in your blessing. I am the blessed of the Lord on the earth. And I give you praise, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Let there be great encouragement in this house, God, rising up. Let there be great confidence coming into the hearts of your children. Lord, let the weak say they are strong. Hallelujah. Let the sick say they are well. Let the impoverished say they are blessed and they are prosperous. In the name of the Lord. Now, if you're next to somebody, just put your hand on their shoulder and bless them for the year 2012. Declare over them the blessing of Aaron. Declare over them the blessing of God, that they would walk in this truth, that they would look for the hand of God to be upon them, and they would walk in the fullness of the blessing of God in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be the name of our God. Thank you, Lord. Donda baronda baronde bededa. I glorify your name, God. I bless you tonight, Lord. I thank you in advance, Father, for it. Hallelujah. I bless this man of God. I bless this woman of God. I thank you, Lord, that we're going to have the most prosperous year that we've ever seen and ever known, God, by the covenant power of Jesus Christ. We'll give you glory, God, in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen and amen. Well, bless the Lord tonight. Yeah. Hallelujah. Numbers chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6. Take that home and just begin to use it over your lives. Declare it every day this year. Don't give up. Don't quit. One day, a couple years ago, God spoke to me and said, don't you start a day until you're on your knees in humility and thankfulness to me. And I said, God, all year? He said, all year. Don't you miss a day. And every day, first thing, slid down on my knees. Father, I humble myself before you and realize that without you, I can do nothing. But in Christ, I can do all things. Thank you for strengthening me today. I was on my knees and I said, Father, I submit myself to your perfect will. I thank you for your provision. I thank you, God, that you've been too good to me. Now I start this day by your grace. Empower me, Father, to prosper. And then I'd get up. I did that for 365 days to bring a remembrance to my own mind that I have a dependency upon God and that without him I can do nothing. Don't let this thing become a sermon that you heard and you forgot. Take Numbers chapter 26. Work that thing every day of your life. Write it down. Put it in your Bible. Put it on your refrigerator. Make it a point. Put it on a 3x5 card. Declare this blessing of Aaron. This is God's perpetual blessing on his children. You deserve it. Jesus paid the price for it. Let's walk in it. Amen. Live right. Love everybody. Pray hard. And give your offering to Church on the North Coast tonight. All right? God bless you. We'll see you on Sunday morning.